Hello, everybody. Bill Buckmaster with you, along with my buddy John Couch. John engineering and producing our show on the other side of the glass. And we welcome you to the program in the Green Things Zocalo Village Studio. It is Friday, October the 8th, 2021. Our radio station is KVOI, 1030, Tucson's trusted source for news talk. We are in year 11 on the radio here. We have our worldwide live listening podcasts, that extensive archive that goes back to the first week of January 2011. It's all at buckmastershow.com. All of our phone interviews on the live line are presented by Rincon Ventures Real Estate and Property Management. Our media partners include TucsonSentinel.com. Thanks to Dylan Smith, Green Valley News, and the Saharita Sun. Thank you to Dan Shear, who is with me in studio today. Dan, thanks for all you do for this program. Appreciate it.
Love the program, and so does Green Valley.
Thank you very much. The Tucson Local Media Group, Jim Nensel, is very much involved with that group and its portfolio of publications. Jim with the Tucson Weekly, Inside Tucson Business. Then they have the Oro Valley Explorer, Marana News, Foothills News, and Desert Times. Our Friday Focus interview today is Green Valley Justice of the Peace, Ray Carroll. Judge Carroll's Justice Court serves Green Valley, Saharita, Corona de Tucson, Aravaca, Amado, and Sasebe. Judge Carroll joined the bench after 19 and a half years as Pima County Supervisor. Judge Carroll joined the Justice Court in 2017. He's with us in studio. Ray, Judge Carroll, how are you today?
Doing very, very fine. Thanks, Bill. Nice to see you. And hello, Mr. Shear.
And I also want to point out that Dan Shear not only has the two papers, he's the editorial director for 24 newspapers that are owned by the Sierra Vista-based company called WIC Communications. And the papers are from all the way from the bayou of Louisiana to the frigid cold land of Alaska. And Dan had his first trip up to Alaska. And what'd you think?
Well, you know, the last day got hit with a snowstorm, so I guess that kind of made it official. That was something else. But Anchorage and the surrounding area is gorgeous, and it was a good trip. And the next trip is to the bayou, by the way.
Did you take my advice, and Ray, we'll get to you in one second. Did you take my advice and try to have a seat on the right-hand side of the aircraft, because the one-hour approach...
Yes.
And that's basically of 1 hour of the most incredible scenery out to the right side of the aircraft with the glaciers that you will ever see anywhere in the world.
Absolutely. You fall in love with the state before you actually reach it. And
yep.
Yeah, that was great advice, so thanks.
Yeah, there you go. All right, Judge Carroll, what's that transition been like for you to be an elected official? Not that you're not elected, you're elected as a judge, but what was that like to become a judge? What was that learning curve?
Well, moving from the legislative to the judiciary, it was a lot of school, Bill, and you had to go to Phoenix and camp out for several weeks. It was called New Judge Orientation. Obviously, it was an exam that you had to take in the end. If you failed, you didn't get to take it a second time. But I think everybody in my class was very well trained and has moved on. And in the meantime, we've continued to be tutored through a thing, through the Office of the Courts that they send down. It's called Wendell. And anytime that I have time, I look up a lecture. Sometimes I go home and watch court TV. It's a little different than legislative, but I'm very happy to be over there. Especially legislative seems so red hot these days.
Yeah,
that I've really avoided a lot of the unpleasantry of elected officials that I've noticed in the last couple, 3 years while I've been basically sheltered from all the partisan back and forth, especially here in Arizona.
Dan, so many people have no idea what a justice of the peace does. How important is that office in your area of Green Valley?
Well, it is. It's very important. We have a municipal court in Sahuarita, and then we have the JP precinct, where Precinct 7 down in Green Valley, hitting all of those areas that that you mentioned earlier. And it is where a lot of interesting stuff happens, let's just say that. And it's been interesting to have Ray in that position because as a supervisor, of course, he could talk about pretty much anything. And as a justice, he just does not have that freedom. But we've been in the court many times and have dug up some great stories there.
There's some really developing stories concerning constables and the justice of the peace.
Just this week on Wednesday, County Administrator Chuck Huckleberry dropped a memo about constables, and each of the 10 justice courts has a constable. The judges make the decision. The constables deliver the paperwork. So summonses and subpoenas and orders of protection, all that type of stuff, that's their job. And so there are 10 of them. One has recently retired. The Board of Supervisors has elected to get rid of one of the precincts already. But this week we're talking about constables because Huckleberry would like to dump all of the constables who are elected, by the way, and replace them with county employees. And the reason is that the constables are in kind of a state of disarray right now. There's some philosophical differences. There's differences in the way that they're carrying out their duties, and they want some uniformity, and that's one way that he wants to do that. So they are looking into whether they can actually take that step. So my question for Ray would be, would that have any impact on your court? Your constable has this huge district to attend to, and so it looks like he's not as busy as others, but he's plenty busy, and I know him personally.
Well, I will tell you that our constable, his name is Constable Thomas Shenick, is a hard-working man. Obviously, he delivers paper all the way, as Bill said, from Sasebo all the way up to Vail and all parts in between. Excuse me. I will say that when I read recently information about the justices of the peace, and we had one that has already resigned from that precinct 5, the constable I'm speaking of in precinct 5 has already decided to retire. So that's already going to impact and further burden the constable from precinct 7. Like I said, he has had my back many times. The constable from precinct 7 not only delivers papers as it were in Pima County, but he's also a public figure in the community and works hard to make sure that people realize that in these times, especially COVID time, that reaching out to the county and the government center is his door is always open. So I've found Shenick to be hardworking and credible as a law enforcement, probably has one of the more distinguished experiences of law enforcement than any of these other constables that I review.
Were you surprised about this memo from Mr. Huckleberry, Ray?
I've just seen it yesterday, and yes, I was not ready. I thought he was focusing on the justices of the peace with the help of Lisa Royal, who's his expert on the subject matter. But then I saw this memo come out, and it was by Mark Napier, named there as part of the crew.
The former sheriff.
Now
he has a new role.
Right, working for Mr. Huckleberry, and he's now going to be over reviewing this constable business and what the issue is and the who, what, where, why, and when, and carry out, I would imagine, the administrator's orders regarding a realignment or at least a review. I'm concerned about it simply because law enforcement has only so many elected officials. And in this case, they're talking about eliminating a number of elected officials from these precincts. And I wonder what kind of battle that's going to portend into the state capital.
Ray, what do you think the advantage is of having the constables elected versus having them as employees of Pima County?
Good question.
Well, they're line officers who should philosophically reflect maybe the precinct that they're a member of. But I will say, when it comes to consolidated justice court, all that stuff's been pretty much blown out the window. I'm not too sure how the constables deliver paper. Is it specifically for the justices of the peace out of the Consolidated Justice Court's precincts? I just don't know. It's always been a catch-as-catch-can for the Consolidated Justice Court, and I believe they're focusing mostly, I thought so, on the Consolidated Justice Court precincts. That would be 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, all but 3 and 7, pardon me. Green Valley and Ajo have never been incorporated into this review.
Okay, so
until
you're not
just
part of the,
now,
oh,
when
now
we
you
found
are
out
all
that
of
the constables
okay.
are possibly going to be part of the next okay. phase of review, including the review that's going to be drilled down by Mark Napier, who's an expert law enforcement.
How do you go from elected to then not being elected? How does that transition happen? Does the state legislature have to sign off on this?
Well, right now, they are seeking the opinion of the Pima County Attorney, Laura Conover, mm-hmm. on that very point. That's what's in the memo. She'll have to weigh in on that, and then we'll see from there. But that was my question, is how can you just decide that something isn't going to be an elected position anymore?
Right.
And it's not that others haven't done this before, but it seems like quite a reach. Obviously, you allow those who are in office because they were elected for a time to finish those terms. But, Ray, let me bring up a point that Mark Napier brought up in his review of the constables. That as kind of rings a kind of an alarm in my head. Take evictions, and I'll make this very brief. What he has said is that there is one faction of constables who are very rigid in their approach. They go up to the house, they say, get out, vacate the residence, you know, and then there's
get your
another
stuff together and get out of here.
Absolutely. And by that point, by the way, they have been warned many, many times. This should not come as a surprise that someone's on their doorstep. The other faction of constables who he calls, you know, they dress like urban social workers, as I believe the term that Mark uses in that that review. They come in and they'll say, okay, now we're going to get you some services. We're going to give you some time. We're going to find you a place and whatever. Well, wait a minute. Up to that point, should they not have already been doing that? So my concern now is if you put them under the county, they're no longer elected. They operate at the will of the county. The county's going to call the shots on what that philosophy is.
Mm-hmm.
And so you're not answering to the voters. You're now answering to, in essence, Chuck Huckleberry. And you're going to be going along with what he wants. Does that concern you at all?
Well, to me, it's concerning. Each state is different, obviously, but constables across the nation and the types of people who carry out this paper mm-hmm. Find themselves in some very dangerous and precarious parts of this community. So, yes, it concerns me that we would have people who are more of, as described by Mark Napier, urban social workers and less law enforcement. I've been to the places that we've had to evict people in the interest of justice. These were crack houses in Green Valley, believe it or not. I think Dan remembers.
Yes. Sure
I do. Can tell you that an urban social worker wouldn't have fared too well there. I stayed out on the curb. That was but I'm a coward.
Well, he also plans to pay them less money than they're making now. Our constables are at $67,000, which is by state statute the most that they can make, and he would drop that down significantly. He uses that word, but we don't know exactly what that means. So it's a very interesting potential transition that's happening here, and there's lots of ramifications.
Well, I know in some states, Bill,
yeah.
The county administrator is a county executive.
Mm-hmm.
And he's an elected official,
uh-huh.
so they get elected in Maryland, et cetera. And
right.
all the counties have various elected officials. So, yeah, and they're quite, just to shoe on the other foot, I don't know how the administrator would feel about having to run for election right now versus the constables who no longer get to compete for their job in an open field of candidates. They have to somehow go through the process of being a county administrative appointee.
Well, it's serendipitous to have you on the show because this memo just came down on Wednesday, and this is a major shift for what could be happening to our justice courts and constables. So we're going to continue our discussion with the Justice of the Peace in Green Valley, Judge Ray Carroll. Dan Shear is here. But, Dan, you know what I want to talk about right now.
Food.
I do. Mona's Danish Bakery. Ray, have you, I know you're living in the Southland, so you don't really get up to the Swan and Sunrise area, but if you did, I'm sure you would love to go by Mona's Danish Bakery.
You know, Bill, the only reason I'm here is about a year ago, they had a Mona's Danish Bakery Kringle.
I should have brought one in.
And I thought, you know, I'm here for the Kringle.
You're here for the Kringle. Mona's Danish Bakery, home of the Danish Kringle, northeast corner of Swan and Sunrise, open right now for lunch, open for breakfast at 6:30 each morning, and their website's monasdanishbakery.com. And as I say, the hardest choice you will make when you walk into the bakery is, oh my gosh, it looks so good. What do I select? Do I go with the Kringle? How about that chocolate croissant? And on it goes. But that will be a pleasant decision that you'll have to make. It's Buckmaster on a Friday, our Friday Focus interview with Judge Ray Carroll. Dan Scheer is here. Be right back. Family-owned Jam Culinary Concepts and its family of restaurants has you covered for your special event. Jam caters anytime, anywhere, any size group, and any type of cuisine. Vero Amore, authentic Neapolitan pizza, and Noble Hops. Craft beer and fine fare are synonymous with quality. Call 954-1468 or log on to jamculinaryconcepts.com.
Green Things is a family-owned and operated plant nursery serving Tucson since 1970. Open daily at 3384 East River Road, Green Things is chock full of plants and pottery from around the world. Green Things is also now home to Zocalo, featuring fine Mexican and South American imports spread over five buildings on the 13-acre Green Things property. For more, visit greenthingsaz.com and zocalovillage.com.
This is Bill Buckmaster. You've heard me talk about choosing Tucson International Airport. While fewer people are traveling lately, our airport is doing even more these days to help ensure traveler health safety, including counter safety shields, physical distancing markers, enhanced cleaning, and more. It's called TUS Cares, and you can learn more at flytucson.com. These may be different times, but my priority remains to fly Tucson. Tucson International Airport.
The Regional Transportation Authority celebrates 15 years of project delivery to the Greater Tucson region. As promised, the RTA has delivered nearly 900 projects from its 20-year 2006 voter-approved Regional Transportation Plan, which is funded by a half-cent RTA tax. The RTA is committed to deliver the remaining plan projects. Learn more about the RTA's economic benefits at rtamobility.com.
Why is mining so important? It's the foundation of everything that defines a society. Everything you see is a product of mining. No matter when, no matter how, no matter why, every society on this planet has developed, grown, and modernized based solely on the minerals it could process. That, my friend, is why mining is so important.
Brought to you by the Southern Arizona Business Coalition.
As a small business owner, I appreciate the services of a top-notch certified public accountant. That's why Michael C. Flowers of Flowers, Rieger & Associates is the CPA firm of the Buckmaster Show. Michael's a former Small Business Leader of the Year in Tucson. He'll professionally handle all of your accounting needs and tax preparation services. Flowers, Rieger & Associates, 6125 East Grant Road, and on the web, flowersrieger.com.
Are you searching for a sumptuous suite on the Italian Riviera, an exploration of the mighty Mississippi, or an indulgent spa in Cancun? Bon Voyage Travel will help you find exactly the vacation you're looking for anywhere in the world. With many cruises setting sail in over 1,100 hotels and resorts to choose from with our exclusive benefits, Bon Voyage Travel's experienced advisors are here to guide you every step of the way. Visit bvtravel.com or call 797-1110.
Welcome back. It is the Buckmaster Show. It's our Friday Focus interview. Very serendipitous to have Justice of the Peace Ray Carroll with us. Ray representing the Justice Court in Green Valley, and Dan Shear is here, editor of the Green Valley News and Saharita Sun. And Dan, we for folks just joining us, because I always think of the noon hour as like a mini drive time, because people are running errands, they've been at meetings, they're getting in and out of the car. Summarize for our listeners our first session of our interview today, and this memo that came out on Wednesday from Pima County Administrator Chuck Huckleberry that has really sent shockwaves through the justice court and constable system.
So the justice courts, there are 10 in Pima County, and they handle the lower level type stuff, and they're very important. Eight of them are up in Tucson. They call that the consolidated court. The memo said that Chuck Huckleberry, the county administrator, would like to do away with the constables. Each court has a constable. The constables carry out the paperwork for the court.
So the summons and all that.
Right, yeah. Subpoenas, anything that needs to be delivered to people. That's mm-hmm. what they do, and there's more to the job, but that's basically it. And mm-hmm. so it's kind of a quasi-law law enforcement position. And he now wants to do away with that, make them all county employees. So he doesn't want to do away with the position, but a constable is elected. The employees are not. This would give him more control over them.
And we still, and this came up in our first section, for him to do that, to get that authorization, do we know what it would take?
He has punted that over to Laura Conover, okay, and so we will see on that. And that just came out, so I don't know how quick she'll be on that, but it mm-hmm. certainly is probably a priority at this point.
And Ray, this is a very difficult situation for you, because you just heard about this, and could this potentially mean a heck of a lot more on your workload?
Well, two things, Bill. First off, I only heard about this interview on Wednesday. You invited me, and I'm sorry for the circumstances. I understand for a funeral mm-hmm. that the law enforcement person that was going to be here
originally
today.
Scheduled guest was Sheriff Nanos, but he is attending the funeral of
as he should be.
Yes. Of a,
but I want to say, as far as this
kind
memo
of a next
goes,
door neighbor of the DEA agent who was shot, Dan. We'll talk about this a little bit later, but
sure.
that guy lived
one street over from you.
But anyway, go ahead.
It was
ahead,
a sad day yeah. for all of Pima County, and especially the members of the DEA agency that have worked here for decades. And as a former board member, I've just got to say that these types of issues, they're never complete until the ink is dry on mm-hmm. whatever reprecincting was happening here, or this new plan for the county administrator's constable review and reassembly. I do believe that Mark Napier, as a law enforcement person, should be able to speak the language. I know that he's to be scheduled to go down and speak to the Consolidated Justice Court members soon.
And that we're talking about former Sheriff Mark Napier, who has just started, well, within maybe a month or so, Dan.
Sure.
He's taken over as one of the cabinet positions, right. if
Assistant
you will.
Assistant County Administrator.
Assistant County Administrator under Chuck Huckleberry. He's like a cabinet member for administration.
Sure.
And he's been tasked with now looking at the whole JP system and this issue about constables.
Familiar territory to him, and I'm sure that he'll be able to provide some type of a reasonable review and expectations of the new norm that Chuck is envisioning. But right now, it's difficult for me to absorb and understand all of it. But I do want you to know, Bill, as far as Precinct 7, the Green Valley Justice Precinct, this is the first thing that has really affected our precinct out of the maneuvers and the changes that have been going on due to the consolidated court, let's say, inefficiencies that Chuck identified some years back.
We should point out that last month the Board of Supervisors voted to go from 10 Justice Court precincts to 9. In this memo is the suggestion that by 2024, they will go down 2 more. So they would now have 7 justice courts instead of 10. Ray, tell us how your workload is right now, how it's measured, and if you went from 9 to 7, how's that going to affect it?
Well, you're looking, and I can show Bill through the glass here that separates us, as well as Dan has seen these maps. The precinct that I represent, Justice Precinct 7, has just increased its population by 30,000 voters. Those voters will impact us, but I think there is going to be a certain balance created by the criminal justice reform initiatives that the legislature put forward, like legalizing marijuana, no longer the governor signing that bill, as well as one that says you can't have a criminal charge for driving on a suspended license, which was a lot of our business. So some of those balancing initiatives are going to take out the $30,000 member increase in possibly filings. And what I mean by case filings is everything from judgments to criminal charges, including those brought by the county attorney, Ms. Conover, as Dan mentioned. So the county itself, if they're going to consolidate two more precincts, I'm wondering if they're not just going to fold the Ajo precinct into Green Valley precinct, if they're going to further cut out more of the justice precincts here. I do have the stats, but as mentioned, Chuck says they're somewhat subjective, some of these numbers, and certainly in the next couple, 3 years, they're going to change again.
But Ajo's court could be consolidated with yours? Is
we
that
don't know. I mean, okay, I could see them consolidating either of those two big rural courts into one.
Okay.
That might be a consideration.
Okay.
So I just want you to know I have no insider information. I'm no longer on the Board of Supervisors, or do I even hang around with any of them?
Ray, what you're saying is that there are fewer crimes, not because the crime rate is dropping, but because what used to be a crime is no longer a crime.
Yes, it's true. A lot of the things that were criminal are no longer, like marijuana and paraphernalia related to marijuana. You can't have heroin needles and crack spoons, but you can marijuana paraphernalia, no longer a criminal charge as well. It used to be 6 months in jail, $2,500 fine, up to 3 years probation. Now it's a civil charge that's usually just dismissed with prejudice.
It's a little early, but are you seeing a drop in cases already?
Through the COVID, obviously, we saw a drop in a lot of cases when it came to police interactions with citizens. But we haven't seen, and I do want to mention this before the end of our interview, what we've really seen is an uptick between neighbors fighting with each other over COVID. They've been locked down in some of these neighborhoods, small properties.
The anger is just boiled over into these neighborhood disputes? Is that what you're saying?
Yes, I am. And it's, a lot of these people live in places that are kind of like the bungalow size I grew up in, 800 square foot on a 2,000 square foot lot, and they're just congested and compacted with neighbors. I get so many standoffs of neighbors that I would hope that the Green Valley Council or the Neighborhood Association would have dealt with. But instead, they're being referred by those people to the Justice Court, and it's a frivolous kind of it's not a complaint I'm having, it's just a ill use of the consolidated justice or the precinct that I represent, court time. They should have more mediation out there for
and
these
neighbors. And they're
fighting
over what?
Loud music, Frank Sinatra at 8:30 in the morning, you name it.
Whatever
floats
Valley.
Their boat, they want to fight
garbage,
with somebody.
Garbage issues and all
yeah,
that.
Yeah, neighbors, fighting neighbors over, it's usually like small claims, Bill. It's not about the money, it's how they made you feel.
My
he gave me the money,
goodness.
But he didn't make
Take
me feel good about it.
Take a deep breath, everybody. Go
well,
ahead.
Well, and what we've seen in Sahuarita is an increase in domestic violence cases, but more are happening between parents and children. Again, mm-hmm. when we had them all cooped up from school last year, so that's easing up a little bit. But Ray, I want to get back to the original question. You go from 10 justice courts down to 7. Does that concern you that your workload's going to just go sky through the roof?
Yes, it does. But I have been promised by the county administration, if this interview hasn't reversed that promise, frankly, that if I have a big hit with so many case filings and my staff being overwhelmed, that I will have help to increase my staff load, and I expect that, and it's a responsible administration. I'm not going to think that they won't somehow help with this increase in expanding a territory for either a justice this time around or in 2 years, I suspect, is when the new increases
and
will come.
I think it's worth addressing again, Dan, the redefining of what indeed a constable is and what the duties are.
Right. And again, as I said, the judges make the decisions and the constables carry it out if paperwork needs to be delivered somewhere. You know, like we said, summonses and subpoenas and orders of protection and whatever. So in the case of Tom Schenick down in our Precinct 7, he can be anywhere from Sasebo over to Corona de Tucson, Vail, whatever. So this is huge geographic area. So he is not going to look like he's as busy as somebody whose geographic area is a fraction of that, and there are those precincts. And so the measure of how busy a constable is not just in how many papers he or she serves. It can be measured in lots of different ways. So it's a very interesting thing that's going on here, but it's one of those things, Bill, that's not overly sexy unless understand kind of what's going on, what the ramifications are. So it's going to be up to us and the media to explain that.
Yeah.
This job is the very bottom of the ballot, Bill. Justice of the Peace, Constable, bottom of the ballot.
I know.
Seldom do you drill down that far. Yeah. But I will say, I appreciate the interview today, and lastly about the whole absorption and the increase, is I think the job is going to be something that I can handle as far as this new precinct. And although the people do get to vote in the 2022, the maps aren't going to be really ready and precincts broken all down for me to present to you or to tell you who exactly is going to be in them for about another 6 to 8, maybe a whole year.
You said something about the marijuana law certainly has changed. There was something about I heard you said another issue or new law concerned a driver's license.
It used to be a criminal charge to be driving on a suspended license.
Oh, okay.
But that was made non-criminal or a civil charge. And we're trying to get people their driver's license back in Green Valley, of course, always. Mm-hmm. But this gives us a couple more tools in order to be able to do that for people. Once they get their license suspended, that's a very expensive ticket to try to combat. And then on top of that, it seems like a real problem for them. If they're going to be within the law, they're going to need to bum rides everywhere or pay for Ubers or however you want to get
it. Did you think there was an increase in your area in substance abuse during the COVID, the 18-month COVID period?
I think, of course there was. I think alcohol and drugs, they invented beer 8,000 years ago. And it's not going fading away anytime soon. And alcohol is a major part of all the business that I do, whether it's related to a driving citation or it's something that started around the house. There's a lot of blended families, as Dan mentioned. And in Green Valley, you also have the fact that a lot of these blended families are getting close to starting to have the senior members pass and the will be divided among the participants left in the family. So there's a lot of tension. There's a lot of arguing. And I see all of it, Bill. There's a lot of secondhand trauma. I'll tell you that.
Well, one of the pleasant things about your job is that you are able to be with young people. Some may not be so young, but who are getting another start on their life, their romantic side of their life, because as the Justice of the Peace, you do perform weddings.
That's true, and we do weddings for all military, police, and fire, first responders, no charge. So if anybody wants to take our phone number and they have somebody in their family that would like to have that are in courtship and would like to get married, I'll come during COVID time. I'll do it for free.
Great.
I'll wear a mask, that's all.
Okay.
And I appreciate you bringing that up, Bill. My number is 222-0201 is my office number, and specifically, I work closely with the American Legion and the Veterans of Foreign Wars, and we often have them host our wedding ceremonies. It's a really nice engagement.
All right. Judge Ray Carroll, good to see you again, Ray. And again, it was serendipitous that we brought you in today with these changes that could be coming in the Justice Court and with constables. Thank you, sir.
You're welcome. When my friends call, I drop what I'm doing and come over. Bill, thanks for calling.
Appreciate it very much. Thank you very much. All right, Dan Scheer sticks around with me. We'll talk with Dan right after this on the Buckmaster Show in the Green Thing Zocalo Village Studios.
Helping you make better money decisions is what the Ramsey Show is all about. Today at 1 p.m. on 1030 The Voice.
Vero Amore Restaurant in Plaza Palomino at Fort Lowland Swan and Dove Mountain in Marana. are now open for limited in-restaurant and patio dining, along with takeout and home delivery. All of your favorite Vero Amore menu items, including Tucson's only certified authentic Neapolitan wood-fired pizza, are ready for you and your friends and family. More at VeroAmorePizza.com.
Have you ever imagined how your life would be without the modern conveniences you rely on every day? Everything you need depends entirely on products produced from mining. Without mining, think Stone Age. Your work commute might be a bit slower, but you could still have social media. Bathing shouldn't be a problem, but it won't be in a tub. So unless you're a caveman, you can see everything that enriches your life depends on the many miracles from mining. Brought to you by the Southern Arizona Business Coalition.
Moe's Gallery and Fine Framing is once again welcoming guests to the gallery. Stop by or call ahead for a one-on-one appointment or even a virtual design session. Come by Moe's Gallery and Fine Framing, located at the southwest corner of Fort Lowell and Dodge. The number is 795-8226 and on the web at moesgallery.com.
The Green Valley News and Sarita Sun cover two of Arizona's most desirable communities. The newspapers reach more than 75% of the communities each week, with a combined population of more than 50,000. The Green Valley News also publishes a dozen magazines each year, and both newspapers publish up-to-the-minute local news online at gvnews.com. The Green Valley News and Sarita Sun, it's all right here.
Vets working hard to save wildlife covered in cactus spines. A skunk left for dead, miraculously saved by a caring citizen. Those are just a couple of the headlines from the nonprofit Tucson Animal Rescue Center, where thousands of animals are cared for each year at its state-of-the-art Far East Side Tucson facility. Rescue, rehab, and release. The Tucson Wildlife Center, saving wildlife for more than two decades. Donate online at TucsonWildlife.com or call 290-WILD.
Southern Arizona is home to one of the world's most trusted sources of information on medicines. The Credible Meds website is visited each day by over 2,000 people from more than 60 countries. You too can learn how to personalize your medications and take control of your health care. Visit CredibleMeds.org today and join Bill Buckmaster each month as he and Dr. Ray Woosley, founder of Credible Meds, give you practical tips on how to get the most from your medications.
Cushman & Wakefield Picor is Tucson's leading independently owned full-service commercial real estate company. Founded in 1985, Cushman & Wakefield Picor offers leasing, sales, and property management for industrial, office, medical, retail, land, and investment properties in Tucson and Sonora, Mexico. Visit our website at picor.com for the latest news from Tucson's commercial real estate sector. That's picor.com. Call us at 748-7100. Welcome back. It is the Buckmaster Show. We are in the Green Thing Zocalo Village studio when we do our telephone interviews. We're in the live line. That is presented by Rincon Ventures Real Estate and Property Management. But right now, we continue in studio with Dan Scheer, the editor of the Green Valley News and Sahorita Sun, and very timely to have Justice of the Peace Ray Carroll here, because this big reorg that former Sheriff Mark Napier is now tasked with is going to be a big deal.
It really is going to be a big deal. And like I said, I think we're just at the very beginning of this. And there's lots to explore, lots of facets to this that we probably haven't even begun to, you know, scratch the surface on. And so we'll see how this plays out. But it's very interesting that they're going for it. Right now is the time to do it because of the way the elections are lining up and all of that. And they've already done away with one of the constables and one of the JP precincts. We'll see if they go after more.
What a sad story, the shootout at the Amtrak station in Tucson. And this gets really close to home for you, Dan Scheer.
Well, it did. I was, the man's name is Michael Garbo. He was the DEA agent, and he did live in my neighborhood, did not know him personally. The shooting was on Monday mm-hmm. night. I'm out walking the dog, and there was just a lot of cars parked along the street in front of a certain house. And then the next night, and the next night, and the next night. And these were the agents, in essence, protecting. And so this is, how I got onto the fact that he lived in our area. And then this morning, as the family was leaving for the funeral at 7 a.m., just mm-hmm. outside the gate, the fire department, police department, several other agencies were there to honor him and to support the family. And it was really good to see. We have a video of this on our Facebook page and our website. And it's a it was good to see, but what a long week. Mm-hmm. Especially for those agents. And I, before came here to the show, was they are live streaming the funeral, started at 10, and I was catching a lot of that too. So a lot of family pictures and good memories of this man who was a well-respected leader within the DEA.
Dan, you have written about clean slate. What is that?
Let me explain clean slate with a... with just an example here. About, maybe 6 weeks ago, I got a phone call from a young man. He's 28, and he said, when I was 18, I made a mistake and I ended up in your paper. It was a low-level drug offense, and his name was in there, and he was guilty. And it's online, and it's online forever. So now, 10 years later, you Google his name, and that's what you're going to see. And he says, look, I went through rehab. I have got my life together. I am moving forward, but this story haunts me. He's been in a position, a job position now for 2 years, which for somebody who's gone through rehab is a huge success. So at some point, Bill, you have the news value is going down on something like this, and his right to privacy is going up. And
right.
That's what clean slate is mm-hmm. that we have recognized that. In the olden days, your name would be in print, and then it would be forgotten.
Mm-hmm.
Now with the internet,
mm-hmm.
it's there forever.
Yeah.
And so mm-hmm. this started about 3 years ago among newspapers, and then earlier this year, the Boston Globe got on with something, really got onto this with Fresh Start, and now people started paying attention to it. We came up with our own version, modified it a bit, just launched it this week, as a matter of fact. And so if you want to petition to have something removed from our site, you do that. We meet every month and we discuss them, and we can either remove your name, we can update the story, we can remove the story, we can leave the story on there. And so people now have a way to make that appeal so that something they did years ago does not continue to haunt them.
Well, I think that's wonderful. Good job on that. This thing with Rosemont, now Hud Bay, we had Pima County Supervisor Steve Christie with us yesterday. He's all in on it. He thinks it's great. It's great for jobs. But there is the water issue, and this is the first time we've had you in studio to talk about where that is. And I've only got about actually probably 5 minutes with you. Let's try to get into this.
Okay. The Rosemont issue is going to be very, very interesting because it is the potential for 7 open pit mines on the Green Valley Sahuarita side. The 3 is what they have filed for, but there's a potential for 7. I met with Hud Bay, the owners of the mine, on just a couple of weeks ago. And so this is called the Copper World Project, not Hud Bay. In essence, Hud Bay has been deprioritized. And they did not use that word. That's mine. But they can only do one thing at a time. And the reason they like Copper World is because the ore is rich. It's a high grade. And it's very close to the surface. On Rosemont, they would have had to have dug for about a year before they really hit copper that mattered.
Mm-hmm.
On the Copper World site, there are some places where they'd be digging and almost immediately they'd be pulling copper out of the ground. And so that's why this has such a big interest for them. They bought up a ton of property. They have about 4,500 acres on that side. What has not been addressed, it's way too early, but it will be, is water, of course. And because a lot of that's going to come right out from under, literally, the town of Sahuarita.
Will the Hudbay back burner then the Rosemont project?
Right.
And which comes with a lot of, there's a lot of court action.
Right, which they expect to have that resolved hopefully by end of this year or early next year. But again, this Copper World thing, just they started doing exploration on the western slope of the Santa Ritas because Rosemont was hung up in court. And they're like, okay, let's what can we do to keep busy here? So they started exploring on some land they had and realized, wow, there's something here. They did more exploration and more. And I have to tell you this, they were very transparent with us on where they were going to be, what they were doing. And their website is phenomenal as far as what they're finding there, at what depths, et cetera. Now, when you look at a website like that, you get blown away. You have to ask the questions that are not being answered on the site. Water is one of them. They have addressed this. I'm not saying that they're running away from it, but right now they haven't addressed it fully. Right now they want to know, is this feasible? And that's one of the things that they're going through. Does it make economic sense for us to do this? I sat in on an investor meeting the other day. The answer is a resounding yes. This is where we're going to go. And that's the meeting where they all but said, yeah, Rosemont, we'll get back to you. So obviously they're going to move forward with it. But when it comes time to actually make the decision, it's going to probably be on the west side, the Copper World project that you can see from Green Valley and Sahuarita. The absolute earliest this thing would be ready to go would be 2027. Hmm. And you know how things go.
Sure.
We've been talking about Rosemont for years.
Yeah, we've been talking about Rosemont certainly since, I think, 2007 or 8.
Absolutely.
And the words I was looking for was Rosemont carries a lot of baggage with us, and that encompasses all the legal challenges. Where this Copper World, I guess they can move forward?
They can, because it's all their land. The problem with Rosemont is that you're going to pull all of this rock out from your land, but then you have to put it somewhere, and that was on federal land, and that's where the NEPA, the Environmental Planning Project came in, that you had to pass that, and this is not something that they need to do now. They need some state permits for their side of, for the Green Valley side of the mountain, because they own all the land, and they believe that they can mine it and put it all of that waste rock on their own property.
What about residents of Green Valley? Have they sounded off on if this is a visible thing from Green Valley, and would there be air pollution issues?
Right. We knew more than a year ago that this was happening. That's when we broke the story on this, that, hey, they're serious about this. And there's been some trepidation, but I think COVID has really kept people quiet, because people haven't been gathering in groups. Save the Scenic Santa Ritas, of course, has been active through the whole thing. They do a lot on this. They're certainly very interested now in what's going to happen with Copper World, and we'll see how that pans out. But right now, we're not hearing an awful lot. Quail Creek, which is in the town of Sahuarita, even though it has a Green Valley mailing address, is going to be most affected by this. The closest open pit is going to be about 8 miles from them. You will see it, but I'll tell you this right now, Bill, as we speak, literally hundreds of homes are going up in that community.
There you go. Thank you very much, Dan Scheer. And Dan will be with our listeners on Monday. He has Reverend Hoover, the founder of Humane Borders. Of course, he has our Monday political face-off. It's going to be interesting, Dan, because Reverend Hoover is saying goodbye to Tucson after many, many years here. He's moving to Albuquerque, and I want to hear your interview Monday about why he's leaving town.
Very curious about this.
Yeah. All right. Thanks, Dan.
Thank you.
All right. Weekend Watch coming up with Matt Russell, who actually will be doing a food and beverage show for me while I'm on vacation next week. Matt's doing that on Wednesday of next week. That's next.
Tucson's original gastropub, Noble Hops in Oro Valley, proudly announces a second Tucson area location where you'll enjoy locally brewed craft beer and gastropub fine fare. Order in or take out at Noble Hops, a pub for foodies, on West Lambert Lane at North La Cañada Drive in Oro Valley, and now at the Doubletree Hotel on Alvernon across from Tucson's Reed Park. More on the web at noblehops.com.
Hello, I'm Danette Bewley, CEO of the Tucson Airport Authority. At Tucson International Airport, we're nonstop supporting jobs and prosperity as an economic engine for our entire region. From an innovative and touchless passenger experience to earning the GBAC Star Accreditation, the golden standard for cleanliness, our team is ready to welcome you back to Tucson International Airport. Begin your journey with us. We're nonstop for you, Southern Arizona.
When the public weighed in on the first draft of the Regional Transportation Authority Plan, the RTA responded by revising the final plan before voter approval in 2006. The RTA is preparing for a new plan for voter consideration by June 2026 and invites your input on regional transportation priorities. A draft plan will be presented for further public review. Submit your input or learn more at rtanext.com.
Hi, this is Pam Krim, CEO of the Better Business Bureau of Southern Arizona, where we set the standards for marketplace trust by engaging with and educating consumers and businesses. The BBB is the place to turn for objective and unbiased information on businesses. Learn more about the many services offered by the Better Business Bureau of Southern Arizona at bbb.org/Tucson.
Are you happy with the news you get? While not all news is good news, you know good reporting when you see it. Check TucsonSentinel.com every day for breaking news and investigative reports. Have your say in the comments. It's all in TucsonSentinel.com, your local, independent, nonprofit news. You can rely on TucsonSentinel.com for solid reporting about immigration, Tucson and Pima politics, everything from the border to baseball. It's independent news without the spin. TucsonSentinel.com. We are watching Tucson.
This is Bill Buckmaster urging my listeners to join me in becoming a member of the Reed Park Zoo, one of America's top zoos and home to more than 300 animals from all over the world. When you become a zoo member, you receive free daytime admission, discounts on special events and education programs, and so much more. Find out more about zoo membership and everything you need to know about your zoo visit, reedparkzoo.org.
This is Hugh Hewitt, and keep listening to Bill Buckmaster. For more news and interviews, listen to my show, The Hugh Hewitt Show, weekday mornings from 10 to noon on 1030 KVOI The Voice.
All righty then, Weekend Watch with Matt Russell, Inside Tucson Business / Tucson Weekly food and beverage columnist, presented by Silver City in Grant County, New Mexico. What a great weekend this would be to pile in the car or the truck, take that three-hour drive east of Tucson and enjoy yourself. Get some early autumn, the taste of autumn over in Silver City. Start your visit by going to southwestnewmexico.org. There you will find all the great opportunities to recreate and so many great places to stay. Here he is, award-winning Tucson publicist, longtime host of our Weekend Watch, Mr. Matt Russell. Hey, Matt.
Hey, I am so ready for this beautiful and glorious weekend, Bill. I don't know about you.
I am so ready. We'll be getting away, going up to the wine country of Sonoma and the north coast of California next week. You've got a special food and beverage show coming up on Wednesday, so it's going to be a great week here on the Buckmaster Show. And we want to talk tonight, this afternoon, about the return of Tucson Meet Yourself.
Yeah, it's the one event where I start my fasting a few days in advance. Of course, we call it Tucson Eat Yourself. It's a three-day celebration. Hundreds of artisans and dancers and musicians and the like are going to be set up. But for me, the food is what defines this event. Nearly 40 exhibits from local restaurants and home chefs representing countless culinary ethnicities, from French to Jamaican to Hawaiian, Cuban, Peruvian, even Turkish, Bill. And there's something delicious for everyone this weekend all around Hakame Plaza downtown. It's Tucson Meet Yourself.
How about a special cocktail right now?
Yeah, I'll tell you, another fun event happening downtown. It's tomorrow night as part of Second Saturdays, and it's the launch of the Scott Avenue Cocktail Corridor at 6:30. Several of the bars and restaurants on and around Scott Avenue have kind of teamed up to provide a curated cocktail tasting and live music experience. So many of them are getting involved for a little sipping and then a little skipping down Scott Avenue. It's expected to be a monthly series, and it debuts tomorrow night at 6:30.
Any Oktoberfest activity this weekend?
Well, it's still October, which means it's still Oktoberfest season. The celebrations continue all around town. But one event in particular, Bill, got my attention because it's kind of one-stop shopping. It's the Oktoberfest at Button Brew House. But they're not just going to be pouring their own brews. They're going to be featuring beers from 18 area breweries that have partnered on kind of this community block party. There's going to be plenty of bratwursts on hand as well. Just $40 gets you admission, a commemorative stein, and a few fills. They're located just off of I-10 between Ina and Orange Grove. But trust me, your Uber driver should know exactly where Button Brew House is.
And quickly, in the column this week.
It's all about spicy menudo, and you will definitely enjoy my tales of the tripe in this week's Inside Tucson Business.
Great weekend to you. Have fun next week, Matt Russell. Thank you.
Thanks. You do the same, Bill.
All right. The Buckmaster Show, a presentation of Bill Buckmaster Communications, which is wholly responsible for the content of our program. Original theme music composed by Chris Stefan. My thanks to Rose Brandt, my assistant for many years, everybody here at KVOI, including engineer and producer John Couch, the entire team at Bustos Media Tucson, wishing you a great weekend.